You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Point out the colors of you. I see them too, and boy, I like them. I like them. I like them. We're way too fly to partake in all this hate. We out here vibing. We vibing. We vibing.
Alexa, play Ariana Grande.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Oh, hey, welcome. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit VOD cast. You just caught us while we've been sitting here, sipping on expensive waters and enjoying the cool breeze. As it were, we are the Pride of Detroit POD cast. POD stands for Pride of Detroit. It's the words of podcast. We are your Detroit Lions podcast. I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. Doesn't need much explanation. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, back with us again now that he has crossed the country in haphazard style, calling in now from somewhere in the north of Detroit. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello. Thanks for having me back, guys. Can I talk about last week's episode for a bit?
Real quick. Well, yeah, sure, you can real quick, but let's get in Ryan Matthews.
Back is the motherfucking rock guy.
At Ryan underscore POD. Howdy, Ryan. Let's let the wonderful people at home hear your voice first.
Hello. Hi. Happy to be back. Thanks for having me back, Chris.
You're always back, except for that one time you broke your streak.
Brock Lesnar'd myself. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah,
great segue.
Number one, just because I'm sure everyone was yelling it at the podcast last week, Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay.
Okay. Two, fart noises forever.
Two, I'm always blamed for going long on these things. Last week's episode was like the longest in 3 months. Just want you to know that.
Mostly just because we took like a bunch of time on the mailbag, I think, wasn't it? That mailbag alone was like 30 minutes. We just had fun with that mailbag, though. You know what?
So it's not fun when I'm here. I got it.
You said it. You said it.
Well, you're the boss. Who has fun with their boss?
I'm like Michael Scott, though. I'm the fun boss.
Oh, God, that was the worst.
Don't do this.
Perfect. Perfect.
Way to anyway, go. We've got a great show for you today. Tight ends for list on your wonderful, wonderful list cast, the top 10 tight ends, the tightest of ends. And then we are going to have Wayback Machine to another Lions game from 2017. We are almost closed out on that season. I think we're getting in the home stretch. I think it's the Browns this week.
It's Ryan's team.
Yeah, Ryan's old team.
My old team.
Yeah, he gave it up after 2017.
Although now they have my new team's former quarterback, so I might be back on board. I don't know. We'll see.
These politics are more complicated than the Holy Roman Empire. To start us off, though, first off, happy birthday this week to Barry Sanders. He is turning 50. We just talked about him on the last episode, did we not? He is turning 50 now, the old gray machine behind the Detroit Lions. It's crazy that he's 50. You never thought he'd live this long, huh?
No. I mean, I thought he would retire from life before then.
That's
got
really
dark.
That's really grim. Holy God. I'm not letting you.
I'm sorry. This is what Michigan has done to me. The skies are gray. I'm emo now. I'm reverting back to my high school days here.
Okay, we'll go home. We don't want you.
I'm going to start doing poetry again.
He's going to be listening to, you're going to get in the car again? With him, Ryan, to go out to like Sweetwater. And he's going to be listening to 89X.
You know what? I wouldn't be mad if you turned on 89X, but then I'd also still be, that would be another warning sign. I'd definitely be
concerned. Turn on 89X and then Dashboard Confessional will come on and he'll crank it.
Oh, yes.
How could this happen to me?
Oh, man. I'm making gains right now just hearing Jeremy sing.
Our workout beast there, Ryan Matthews, the rock god.
We've done everything but talk about Barry Sanders so far.
See, Jeremy wanted to talk about it. Now I've got nothing to talk about. He's 50. Hooray. All right. As far as news for the team roster, I do want to talk about this, is that we did see Ezekiel Ansah. He's now on up to the franchise tag, and he is not expected to come to a long-term agreement with the Detroit Lions. He's going to play 1 year with Detroit, 2018, and then he will hit the free agent market. I think people saw this coming. I know we've talked about it before, but I don't think I've gotten Jeremy's opinion as far as what this means for the team overall.
Well, I mean, like you said, this was expected. The Lions were in a tough spot. They can't really commit to a guy who can't see the field, you know, very often in his past 2 years. They can't commit to a guy like that long term. But they're also in a position where now they have to pay him $17.1 million this year. And going forward, it's really interesting. It's hard to see a scenario to me in which Ezekiel Ansah is on this team in 2019, because if he has a fantastic year, that means he's hitting the free agency market at his peak. And even though he's going to be 30 entering 2019, he's going to have a lot of value, because good, you know, edge rushers aren't on the market that often. You see them get franchise tag. You see them get long-term deals very often. So if he has a really good year, that means he's going to get a ton of money, and it might not be in Detroit. Okay, if he has a really bad year, then why would Detroit want him back? He's 30, and he's clearly on the down low. If he struggles with injuries again, you just can't risk bringing a guy like that back. Even though this team has very few pass rushers on the roster, you can't risk it on a guy like that next year.
Sure, but I mean, this is where I start to break up when it comes to Ezekiel Ansah. Even if he has a good year, that will be like, what, two good years he has had on record as a pass rusher. So there's a couple where he's had decent years, but I can't look at him and think of him as any kind of top edge rusher. And I know, like, it comes up with the ideas like, okay, I get it. The cupboard's bare. There's no other edge rushers or any good defensive ends after Ezekiel Ansah. But I mean, we've had, I don't know how many, a couple of drafts now where the Lions have just refused to draft at that position. And they've had options there for edge rushers if they wanted. So I don't have anyone to blame but themselves at this point. If they're saying, well, they, you know, we have no other option but to try to, you know, put Ezekiel Ansah on a 1 year franchise tag and hope that he does well.
It is. Here's what I believe. Ansah and the Lions are in the situation that I think both of them need to be in. Ansah has every opportunity now to prove that he's worth a long-term contract. The Lions are going to get the best Ansah that they can possibly get, because if it's another injury-riddled season, guess what? Maybe the Lions will be able to snag him at a discounted rate if they still want to, you know, keep on, you know, spinning the tires on this thing. But at this point, I think in Ansah's career, like, he hasn't proven that he's been able to be healthy over the past two seasons. I mean, and if he makes it year number three, how can anybody, you know, invest any serious money in him? Like, we saw Jason Pierre-Paul get 4 years, $62 million from the Giants just last season for a contract that he signed as a, you know, he was a free agent.
And my guy there's missing some fingers.
That's an awful lot of money. Like, I mean, could you sell anybody on Lions Twitter right now for Ezekiel Ansah for 4 years at $62 million?
No chance.
With a $20 million signing bonus?
I can't do that. No, absolutely not. No.
Well, my question is, what does Ezekiel Ansah have to do this year to earn that trust back? I mean, he can play 16 games. Does he have to, what, get another 14 and a half sack season? And then suddenly, like, okay, I guess he's good. I guess he's fine. Does that really eliminate all the worries you have of him?
Not for me at all.
Yeah.
I'm at the point with Ansah where, like you know, Chris said, the cupboard may be barren, but that's fine. you know, when I was looking at the Lions cap situation, and I know Ants is playing on this, you know, 1 year, $17.1 million contract, but the Lions have like $14 million or they have 14% of their cap invested in defensive ends alone. Like, there's no way that you can rationalize saying that the Lions should be spending that much cap on their defensive ends. And I think this goes into a lot of the unknowns. Seeing how Ants is going to play, seeing the role he's going to play in Matt Patricia's defense, like, I think that's going to go a long ways towards a lot of people getting an understanding of, okay, what does Patricia need out of his defensive ends? Is it going to be able to be accomplished by, you know, guys like Zettel or Hyder, depending on how he comes back? Like, are we going to be able to get by with guys who are, like, you know, just passable and rotational? Or do we truly need to finally get another pass rusher? And I just don't think that that guy will even be Ansa if he has another 15, 16 sack season.
No, I am convinced that person has to come from the draft. It has to come from the draft at this point, because it has to. You have to invest some draft capital in a pass rusher for your future.
How many elite pass rushers, Jeremy, like, really get passed off from one team to another one and they maintain like that elite level status? Like, I just can't think that there's a ton, really.
And here's the thing, like I mentioned this earlier in the offseason, Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn, they don't have a history of going all in on big edge rushers. Like, they've had a couple in their career, but they just don't do it. The thing to me that's missing, though, is that big nose tackle, that big Vince Wilfork type. And, you know, we all love A'shaun. We don't know what the Lions have in Sylvester Williams, but I don't think they have the guy that can compensate for mediocre pass rushers in the middle yet. And if that's the path that the Lions are going to go, maybe we see them draft defensive tackle early next year. Or maybe they change things up. Maybe they do get a premier edge rushers. But either way, it's just hard for me to see Ziggy as part of this team's future beyond this year right now.
All right. I think that's enough Lions news there. We are going to move along here. Jim Brandstatter is no longer with the Lions radio network. His place in color commentary, he will no longer be doing this alongside Dan Miller. Lomas Brown is your new color guy on WJR and the Detroit Lions radio network. Before we get into Lomas Brown, who's great, who's been reaching out to us on a few things, and expect some news down the pike as we kind of wiggle our way into his ear, and I hope he's listening to us. Hello, Lomas. I sat in your seat 1 year at Taste the Lions and people joked that I was you. So
the resemblance thank you for that. Is uncanny.
You can't tell the two of us apart. Either way, Jim Brandstatter, I mean, I don't know of too many other guys, though, in the industry who got to do what Jim was doing, which was because he is the play-by-play guy from Michigan Wolverines football, but then he was color for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and I think that's why the news was so shocking to a lot of people. It's just usually, like, he's so ingrained in Detroit sports radio.
You're usually, than that, you're usually specialized. You usually come from a broadcast background as play-by-play, and you're a former player as color. And, I mean, he was a former player, but that he got to do both was pretty interesting in my book. And I think is he still going to be doing play-by-play, though, for Michigan?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. No plans to lose that job. Yeah, I guess I don't really have any strong reactions to this news other than it's just surprising. I mean, this guy's been doing it since I was 1 year old. And so a changing of the guard like that when it's not the decision of the man himself is shocking. Like, that doesn't happen very often. Usually when you've been doing it for that long, you get to leave on your own terms. And so I think that's why there was a very negative reaction. I don't have a lot of personal experience listening to him on the radio. I don't like listening to football on the radio. Back in the day, sometimes when I was at games, my dad liked to have like the little headsets and he would listen to the radio instead of, you know, just, you know, watching the game itself. I wasn't really a big fan of that. So I don't have an opinion on Jim Brandstatter in terms of how he was at his job, but it's always sad to see a longtime guy go.
I mean, I used to, in Toledo, I used to be the board operator for those Detroit Lions radio broadcasts coming into town. And I think the big thing though is just it seems like they want Lomas Brown mostly because he's a Lions name out there. As we just said, the archetypes of play-by-play and color is you get a former player, and especially for these NFL broadcasts, a lot of it is coming down to, did you play for the team? Lomas Brown did. Jim Brandstetter did not. He played for, you know, the University of Michigan, but I don't remember. I don't think he really had much of a, I don't think he had a pro career at all. Did he? Does not look like he did.
Yeah, I don't think so. And yeah, I'm interested in to figuring out exactly the thinking behind this, because it could be, you know, the whole former player thing. I don't know why you make that change necessarily right now and don't wait for, you know, Brandstetter to leave on his own terms. Maybe it's a move to get younger. You know, you have kind of an elder guy, and, you know, NFL's trying to kind of, I think the NFL in general is struggling to find that new generation of fans, because, you know, basketball's taking a lot of that away from that. We've talked plenty of times how basketball seems to be growing at a much better pace than football is.
I see that, but I think when it comes to radio in particular, like, some people do like kind of the old timer guys. I'm not saying that's Jim Brandstetter, but like, he was working there for 30 years. But like, I know for me growing up around a lot of college football, I can't tell you how many people I met who loved Vern Lundquist. And yet young people loved Vern Lundquist and had like no opinion of younger broadcasters.
Yeah.
So like when you get to be that big name for it, but I think it's more than anything. It is, you know, you want the former player in, you want, you know, the experience that Lomas would bring. It's a demographic thing too, I would say as well.
If we're kind of shifting the focus to Lomas here, it's worth noting that, like, he's been super close to the organization since he's, you know, retired from his playing career. He's been around Detroit in terms of, you know, he and Torrey Petrie had a podcast. He's there at all the alumni events. He's someone who definitely knows the team and makes complete sense as a hire.
Sure. I mean, he played with the Lions for 10 years. So, I mean, he's one of those guys you can point to from, the 90s when they were that team that, you know, it's not the team for a lot of young people, but it's definitely was a team for some of their fathers.
Yeah.
So do you think that everybody's real beef with this just basically comes down to like the bucking of the status quo? Like,
I don't know if it's really much of a beef. Again, I think people are divided on Jim Brandstetter, but I think
a lot of people in our comment section were really up in arms. Even on Twitter, there are a lot of people who are like, Facebook. I mean, I know the people who frequent those types of places, but those are the people who do listen to the radio and do, you know, appreciate Jim Brandstetter, and they kind of appreciate that quote unquote tradition though. And I think that they were very vocal about how upset they were that Brandstetter was gone.
Yeah. Again, usually if you're working at the same place like that for 30 years, especially in broadcasting, get to leave on your own terms.
Do you have any personal experience with listening to him on the radio, Ryan?
For sure. I think I spent a lot of time on the road, traveling around like Southeast Michigan when I was young and I was playing hockey, and usually most oftentimes we had a lot of Sunday morning games. So like Sunday morning games would, you know, transition right into coming home at around, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and, at least catching, you know, the first quarter, maybe the first half on the radio. So there was a lot of times I listened to football on the radio, and I actually do like listening to football on the radio just because I think it is one of those things that I grew up with. So I think that's maybe where, you know, Jeremy, you spent like more time at games and you weren't, you know, so in tune with the whole radio thing. It's just kind of one of those ways that you're brought up. So I think that's why I am kind of partial to like the radio. I'm kind of partial to the radio in all senses though, too. I mean, obviously the superior way is to just watch it on television, but, hockey games, like listening to Wings games, listening to Ken Cal, listening to, you know, Blaha on the radio for the Pistons when they're on national television, all that stuff was, I mean, it kind of taps into that nostalgia factor.
I mean, there's definitely that nostalgia too. Like, I mean, just even thinking about who Brandstetter's partner was, it was Mark Champion before it was Dan Miller. Mark Champion, one of those, like probably one of the legends when it comes to, I mean, a lot of legends when it comes to broadcast world in Detroit. Take your pick with, you know, all the other, mostly in, you know, broadcast television news, but Mark Champion was definitely just a radio voice.
And the one thing,
I mean, he's doing Pistons games now.
Right.
Yep.
And the one thing that makes Detroit Lions radio unique is that it's the only local voice that you get live, because on TV for basketball, for hockey, for baseball, you have local commenters. You don't get that for the NFL. So I think that Detroit Lions radio has a special place in Detroiters' hearts. And we love it too. Like, we post the best radio clips of each highlight every week during the season.
You hear it even on like ESPN and NFL Network highlights too, because they realize that passion in radio is more poignant than, you know, who you get from like the C team from CBS or Fox on any given Sunday. You're going to have those voices, not just with the Lions. Like, yeah, I've heard Dan Miller out there, but I'll absolutely hear like the guys from the Ravens radio network or what have you, if it's their highlights. So yeah, radio still plays that role. And I've always advocated for audio. I mean, hell, you're listening to a podcast right now, folks. You are able to listen to this and drive a car or operate machinery, hopefully safely, or maybe read, or maybe just garden, or jog, or do something else. Work out like Buff Ryan, absolutely. Radio is lightweight in that regards. You do not have to stop what you are doing to put aside radio unless you are really trying to focus. You don't have to stop like you would with video, stop whatever you're doing. You can keep listening and go about your day. And that's what I liked about, you know, radio, and even still listening to the NFL on the radio, even though it's a very complex thing to do. Absolutely. It's not like baseball. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break here and move on to our list cast, shall we? That's a lot of radio talk, but you know what? We love the radio. You love audio. You're listening to a podcast right now. You can't see our mugs. You're not going to be able to. We're not going to allow you. Nor do we provide a transcript for this. So you know what? You're going to have to listen like you do the radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Help! Our family's going to a big football game this weekend, and I want to get us on the Jumbotron in some fresh new styles.
Sprint over to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's giant thank you event is happening now. Get 30% off your purchase or 40% off when you use or open an Old Navy credit card at Old Navy or OldNavy.com.
40% off? Wow, that's a huge score.
Better hurry. It ends Sunday.
Time to huddle up and head to Old Navy.
High Fashion. Old Navy. Valid 9/26 to 9/30. Excludes in-store clearance, register lane items, gift cards, jewelry, today only, and two-day only deals. 40% offer subject to credit approval.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
All right, let's start our list cast. List cast time. Stepping it back from that weird esoteric talk about what radio is and the passion of radio and all the rest, to do what we do best with this wonderful form of radio that we bring you, to sit here and list guys off repeatedly. It's list cast, baby. And we have now the top 10 tight ends for the 2018 NFL season. We are predicting these will be your top 10 by the end of the year. And if we are wrong, we face absolutely no consequences whatsoever, and you'll probably forget anyway.
That is the nature of NFL predictions. No consequences. Yeah, baby.
Absolutely none. Can't even send us off to freezing cold takes, because I'm going to probably block those bastards again.
Had a boy.
I preemptively block them just so I don't let people do that ish to me. I'm not about that life. Anyway, we had fun last week without Jeremy. Jeremy, what do you make of our pass rushers from last week?
I think it ended on a perfect note.
what would that be? Like Ryan not recognizing Aaron Donald, or?
Yeah, well, just mass confusion over whether you were listing off pass rushers or edge rushers. Very on brand.
Yep.
We killed it, Chris. That's what the boss is saying. He said we did a good job.
Completely on brand. All right. Let's go right ahead. And okay. Someone else is going to have to take 10-9, 8-7-6. Go through the bottom pretty quickly if we can. Someone else is going to have to start because I just looked at my list and realized my number 10 is missing. So I have to go and find where I put it.
I can start unless Jeremy, is that fine?
It's all you, baby.
All right, here we go. Let's run through these. Number 10, I have OJ Howard. Interesting scenario they have there in Tampa Bay with him and Cameron Brate. I think they'll figure it out. OJ Howard was really, I think, just kind of flew under the radar. He actually finished seventh in DYAR, finished fifth in DVOA. I think he'll have a I think he'll take a step next season with some added responsibility in their offense. Number 9, I have George Kittle. At Beast F Ball's favorite player, I think, in the history of the National Football League. I'm not trying to jump on the Jimmy G bandwagon too much, but I think that Kittle is going to kind of have one of those breakout seasons where he's going to be the number one tight end there. I know they have Garrett Celek, but I think that Kittle is prime for a big 2018. Number 8, I have Jack Doyle, who is Eric Ebron's teammate. But the Colts definitely signed him up to a big contract, like at the very beginning of free agency, because the dude put up big numbers last season. I mean, in 2017, he had 80 catches, only 690 yards, a relatively short, reception average. But I think that he's a red zone threat to pair with Eric Ebron. So I have him at 8. Number 7, I have Kyle Rudolph from the Minnesota Vikings. This guy is, I think, just really underappreciated. I think that the people in the NFC North understand like how good he is. I'd be surprised if other, other divisions did a list cast and I would be surprised if any of them even put Kyle Rudolph in their top 10, but I think he truly is. Last year, he had 16 targets in the red zone, caught 14 of them. For 7 touchdowns. He had an 87.5% completion rate in the red zone, which is
I will say this. I was looking through Bleacher Report for end of year 2017 rankings. Kyle Rudolph was their number 9. So, like,
nice. Well, I guess I'm a little bit higher on him more than anything. Yeah, a little bit of play. And then to round it out, my number 6, another NFC North tight end, Jimmy Graham. I know that some of the shine has kind of come off of Jimmy in recent seasons, especially after that trade to Seattle. Things didn't go quite as planned, but regardless, I mean, 17 targets in the end zone, or 29 targets, 17 catches, 10 touchdowns. I'm just kind of scared of what Aaron Rodgers might be able to get out of him. So I think my fear of Aaron Rodgers put Jimmy Graham at number 6.
It's fair enough. I can do my 10-9-8 now. So, okay, here we go. Number 10, Kyle Rudolph. As we said, kind of flies under the radar a little bit. I think it'd be interesting to go back and see the difference on what Kirk Cousins, what his receiving habits are to tight ends. I really don't know too much about that. I'm trying to remember who he had in Washington.
He loves Jordan Reed. He loved Jordan Reed when he was healthy.
Like Jordan Reed, yeah. So I think he'll be kind of, I mean, kudos to Kyle Rudolph. He might be getting a lot more use out of it. Number 9 for me is actually more of a blocking threat. But the man had 5 touchdowns. 4 of those were from inside the 20-yard line. And his name is Mercedes Lewis with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But he's just a big man, probably the best blocker I have on this list. But
love those Jaguars, man.
I mean, they're such a good team, man. I think I was having this discussion with someone else the other day, more about the Lions, but if you took the name Jacksonville Jaguars off them and put some other name on there, like some name brand on there, like rebrand them as the Broncos or the Raiders, people would be ranking these guys a lot higher than they do. I'm only giving them the proper love that they deserve.
All because of Blake Bortles.
Except for Bortles. My God.
Well, the thing about Mercedes Lewis, though, plays for the Green Bay Packers now.
Yeah. Whew.
That's a scary tandem.
That is a scary tandem. And now I feel bad because I don't have Jimmy Graham on here. And I completely missed that bit of news that he had made. Okay, adequate. adequate. I'm still keeping it on here because I think he's probably he's a good blocker, and we focus a little too much on the receiving end than we do on the blocking side. Number eight for me, and I'm hoping now you've got me sweaty, and I'm hoping he's with this team now. And I don't know why this fell off my band, and now I'm furiously looking around. Please tell me he's still with me. This is the only guy who I don't have account for, and I should stop wasting time. Benjamin Watson, Baltimore Ravens.
Still around, I believe.
Benjamin Watson does play football.
Bastard. Yeah, I think. He's good. I like him.
He's back with the New Orleans Saints.
Well, that's right.
You know what? That's good because
that is good for him.
No, that's good for him because I was going to say he might have even been higher on my list because Joe Flacco's receiving passes are not exactly an ideal situation. I think Watson will fit it quite well in with the New Orleans Saints. Then
he's 37 though.
Old man Scrawl. Hey, I always have one on the list.
Hey. Real quick, I almost put Antonio Gates at number 10, and he's not even
a free agent. He's a free agent.
He is going to sign with the Los Angeles Chargers 100%.
Quickly, okay, go ahead, Jeremy, go. 10, 9, 8.
Wait, you got 7 and 6 to go. Give me 7 and 6.
Oh, 7 and 6 as well? Oh, hold on. Did Ryan do 7 and 6?
I went through 7 and 6. You told me to go 10 through 6.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We usually, No, that's fine. That's fine. Number 7 then is Evan Engram, and I know he plays for the New York Giants.
He does.
He does. He had a up and down rookie season, but you know what? I think he's going to kind of settle in a little bit more in his sophomore year. Really good advanced route running that I like out of him. A lot of talent, and I just think there's good upside potential to him, and I am more than willing to put him up here. Number 6, and I think I've been beating on this guy's drum for at least a year now, Hunter Henry, who I think is probably one of the up-and-up tight ends out there, currently with the Los Angeles Chargers, and I've liked him ever since he came out of Alabama, and I am all in on him.
All right, I'll take over from here. My number 10, just like Chris's, which makes me worried, is Kyle Rudolph. I think Ryan pretty much tackled it. I think he's a very underrated guy. And even though it seems like he's been around forever, he's only 28, so he's still got a good 5-10 years ahead of him. I don't like that he's in our division. Number 9 is a guy who used to be in our division, Jared Cook, now with the Oakland Raiders. Probably not going to be on the rest of your guys' list, I get the feeling. But he's a guy who had almost 700 yards last year. Really kind of caught on, I think, with the Raiders. He's also eclipsed 600 yards 3 other times in his career. He's done it. He's proven it. The thing, when I got to the bottom of this list, there were a bunch of young guys like O.J. Howard, like Cameron Brate, that I considered putting on my list. Even considered putting Eric Ebron on my list. But I opted to go with some guys who have proven it before because – I don't know, the young guns tend to get a lot of hype, but I'm not sure that they end up working out as often as they should. Number 8, Jimmy Graham. Again, kind of same mold here. Veteran guy who's done it before. I know there are a lot of Lions fans out now that think he sucks now that he's with the Packers. I promise you that's not true. He has dealt with drops in the past, but not as often as I think Lions fans are hoping. He's going to be good. This isn't the same thing as, you know, the Packers signing Bennett last year. Jimmy Graham is legit.
I did compare numbers and show that Jimmy Graham and Eric Ebron had comparable drop rates. So take that as you will.
For one season, though.
For a couple of seasons. I think I put it up against like 2-3 seasons there, actually, on their catch rates. So
whatever. All right. Continuing the theme of old veterans, although I would have liked to put this guy higher, but he's coming off an injury. He's well over 30 at this point. Greg Olsen. Before his injury last year, he put up 3 straight seasons of 1,000 yards. I'm almost positive that the rest of you guys are going to have him a little bit higher, but I'm just a little worrisome coming off an injury at this age. But the dude is one of the best in the modern age, so... I completely understand putting him higher than 7. And my number 6, same as Chris again, Hunter Henry. He's made the transition from Antonio Gates pretty seamless over there in LA. I have to say over there in LA now. That's weird. number two on Pro Football Focus last year, had 8 touchdowns his rookie season, just 4 last year, and around 600 yards. But Hunter Henry,
he's ready to take over for Gates, I think.
He's ready. He's going to be pretty darn good. I keep hearing Ryan Sigh every time we mention his name, so I'm curious what's happening over there.
What's going on? Did you get adequate?
No, I mean, both you guys got adequate. Hunter Henry tore his ACL, and he's not playing this season.
No, that's right!
Oh, what the hell?
Oh, no!
This is an awful list cast.
I forgot. I knew there was one tight end that tore his ACL, and I thought it was someone else.
That's why I said I almost put Antonio Gates at number 10 because he's going to sign with the Chargers.
Scrub this and just start again.
Nope.
We are going forward.
Nope. You know what? This is an iron.
Hunter Henry with the torn ACL. Number 6.
Hypothetical. He might come back. Who knows?
Over Jimmy Graham.
I'm assuming they're going to make bionic legs. And
Jimmy Graham's a Packer. He sucks.
They had the tech.
Bicentennial man. Yeah.
You want me to kick it up?
Let's go ahead. You know what? At least I know the top of this isn't going to look so bad.
Perfect. I'll hit you with my 5-4-3. How about that?
Well, tell you what, why don't I just say this? I think we all have the same top four, do we not? Because that's what I felt like going into this. Can I do an experiment? I'm not going to give you the order. I'm just going to say their names. Okay. Zach Ertz, Delanie Walker, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski are those guys your top four or no?
No.
Yes.
Okay. All right, then Ryan, you kick it off.
Hey, number 5, Delanie Walker. I'm a bigger Delanie Walker fan than anybody else here. So the fact that he's in your top four, but he's number 5 on my list really upsets my brand. but I mean, he's my favorite little 6'3 tight end who like doesn't belong in today's NFL, but for some reason just keeps on getting it done. Even though his quarterback is replacement level at best. So,
I mean, that's the motto of the Tennessee Titans doesn't belong in the NFL, but somehow gets it done.
Yeah. Their team is so old school. They have like Delanie Walker, who's like, you know, the perfect tight end for 1999. They have, you know, Derrick Henry, who's like the perfect running back for like 1996. Like it's
old
great.
School Alabama
I love it.
Type. Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a mobile quarterback. It's like, what is this team? Like, what is your identity on offense? Anyways, number 4 is Greg Olsen, because I still believe in Greg Olsen. I have Greg Olsen number 4. He didn't tear his ACL, so he will be playing in the NFL this year.
Shut the fuck up.
I can't believe you brought your adequacy to me. I'm so upset in myself.
It's because you took a week off.
Yeah, you took a week off and moved back to Michigan. Like, my old adequacy is just infecting you now.
All right, Greg Olsen just dealt with some injuries last year, and he'll put it back together. They're going to need him, I think, in Carolina more than any time they've needed anybody, because I still don't think that they have, like, a number one wide out. No Devin Funchess, no DJ Moore. I mean, like, those guys, they are not number one targets, I think Greg Olsen is. So he'll reclaim that spot of, like, the big target getter. And then number 3, Zach Ertz. This dude, like, totally pulled a 180 in his career. Like, I thought for sure, like, we had seen, like, what Zach Ertz could do. Like, he got opportunity after opportunity. And then all of a sudden, like, last season happened with Frank Reich and everything. And 74 catches, 824 yards, 8 touchdowns, big red zone threat. 17 targets, 11 catches for 8 touchdowns. The guy proved that he's one of the top 3 tight ends in the NFL.
Can I ask you a question, Ryan?
Sure.
Do you not have Evan Ingram on your list?
No.
Really? You have O.J. Howard and George Kittle on your list, but not Evan Ingram.
Evan Ingram's like, he's basically like a wide receiver. Like, I mean, like, if Lions fans thought Eric Ebron couldn't block, like, let me show you. what's the meme? Can I slap the Evan Ingram car and be like, this baby can't block for shit?
Oh,
his foot, this baby can fit so many fucking missed tackles. missed blocked assignments. Yeah, I'm sorry. I screwed up the side of the ball now. Wow. I'm mad at Ryan right now. I'm really mad at Ryan that he let not only see, I can take it when I screw up, he let Jeremy screw up too.
I'm glad you're being so protective of me. That's very
nice.
I'm just saying,
like, I'm the one who's supposed to be the dumbass. All right, who's your number 5, Jeremy? I just want to know.
It's Evan Engram. It's guy had 722 yards in his rookie year. I'm pretty sure he didn't tear his ACL this offseason. Six touchdowns.
Oh my god.
I mean, if he could manage to put up 722 yards and six touchdowns in his rookie year with that horrible Giants offense last year, imagine what he could do in a vacuum. I think this guy is headed for a very good career. I'm glad that we don't have to play him again, even though I don't think he did much against the Lions in that first matchup because no one did much. Actually, he did. Four catches for 49 and a touchdown.
That touchdown when Tavon Wilson bit on that play fake.
That's right.
Fool.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God.
Can I ask both of you guys, since you had Evan Engram on your list, does it bother you at all that he was 67th in Pro Football Focus rating?
I don't get Pro Football Focus, so no, it doesn't.
Okay.
I can't remember last time I've read PFF.
Like, he graded lower than
Virgil Green. Literally the fifth worst.
He was worse than Martellus Bennett last year, according to Pro Football Focus.
You know who was worse than him, though?
OJ Howard, but that doesn't matter.
We're going to have to start doing these, we're going to have to start revealing these to each other beforehand so we don't have a situation like this. I'm really mad at Ryan. I'm, really, really mad at Ryan.
I bit my tongue so hard when you said Hunter Henry, and then when Jeremy said it too,
you should have jumped in. You should have gotten me at least. Now suddenly we're completely off brand. Now people are getting mad at us because we're showing them what kind of preparation we do, which is fine because we're here to entertain you. Now, Jeremy, I want to hear your 4 and 3 very quickly. We're nearly at 20 minutes on this.
Okay, Delanie Walker, veteran guy. Put up 1,000 yards once, put up 800 yards the last two seasons. He's good. He's very good. Number 3, Zach Ertz, for every reason that Ryan just mentioned. Dude just turned around his career out of nowhere. He's still only 27. 3 straight years of 800 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. What do you want from a guy?
Yeah. I have the same 4 and 3 as you. My 5, though, was Jack Doyle. And I just want to say this. He was the Colts' leading receiver last year. Averaged, 8.6 yards per catch? And that was done with a rotating cast of scabs trying to fill in for Andrew Luck. What happens when he actually has a quarterback there? And I know he's going to have Eric Ebron alongside him. I don't like this. He's good. He's going to be really good.
Ebron's going to have more yards.
All right. So I think I all know what our 1 and 2 is. So I just want to know who's number 1 and who's number 2 for you, Ryan. We all have the same 2 guys. I know we do.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the guy who always preaches availability is the best ability, but number 2 is Travis Kelce and number 1 is Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, same with me. And you know why it is for me? You know why it is? Because I think all that bluster about him talking about me walking away ain't going to happen. Mongo may only be pawn in game of life. But you throw him the football and he's going to run out there and go at it with all the zeal in the world.
That's the thing. The zeal is really the perfect word for him. He's just so aggressive with the football and so dominant.
He's a golden retriever.
He's totally a golden retriever.
He's the air butt of the league.
He's not technically disallowed in the rule book, but it seems like he should be disallowed.
Rob Gronkowski, golden retriever out of Utah.
I think that's it. I think that's the perfect place to end this list cast.
Yeah, what else can we say about Travis Kelce? He's insanely good, and that Chiefs offense is going to be crazy.
Oh yeah, that Chiefs offense might be off the charts, but
especially since they got rid of that horrible Matt Nagy guy.
I like that dig. Can I Tony Reale this real quick?
Real quick.
All right. Hunter Henry from Arkansas, not from Alabama.
I said Arkansas.
You said Alabama. For sure.
I meant to say Arkansas. What the hell? Because I said Derek. I knew Derek Henry was from Alabama.
Oh, you got that one right.
Yeah, I said that. But I'm pretty sure I said Arkansas, unless my mouth is completely rebelling against me.
Yeah, it's more rebellious than
Gronkowski with the New England Patriots
than Shea Patterson. Number one. So the other quick one, Rob Gronkowski from Arizona, not from Utah.
I know I was being facetious there.
Okay.
I know he's from Arizona.
Okay. All right, fine. All right, perfect. Yeah. Well, then we all did a great job. Nice job, boys.
Perfect list cast. We finally did one, guys.
Playback Machine up next.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Way back machine. We are now back in, what year is it? What year is it? 2017, November 12th. Lions, 38, at home, over the Browns, 24. Technically, this counted as a come-from-behind game, but really only for, like, the first half or whatever. The Lions were down 10 points early. Real quick, before we get into the rest of the game, though, because those 10 points are about to become very, very, very meaningless. But when the Browns were up, Jeremy, 10-0 on Detroit, what was going through your head?
Well, I remember I was already a bit frustrated because I had to watch this game at a bar, and I absolutely hate doing that. So I was also drinking, which I don't normally do when I'm working slash watching the Lions. And I'm just like, well, it was a good season, guys.
Did you think
we really had them going for a good 4 weeks?
Be honest. Did either of you guys think for any moment, well, hell, this is going to be it. This is going to be the win for the Cleveland Browns.
Thought about it.
The Lions were losing in the second half of this game. I absolutely was going through my head because it would be a perfect way to end the season.
Yeah, because what was it, 24-17? Yeah.
Yeah, because early on, I was in the like, all right, the Lions are, you know, the Lions always do this, slow starts. They'll get their act together. They'll put the Browns in their place. Then the Lions started to do that. And then in the second half, the Browns come out, put up two drives of 80-plus yards to take the lead 24-17. I'm like, well, I think it's fair to say this Lions team is not who we thought they were back in October.
We are talking really negatively about a win, though. But I mean, I think that's about fair when we consider what we knew. Because even at that point, the Browns were what, 0-9, 0-8? Like, yeah. We knew what the Browns were. We knew that they were probably one of the worst teams since the 2008 Lions. And to be just struggling like this was just, whew. But why did they struggle, Jeremy? Like, what was causing all this? Before we get to the good parts and the funny parts of this game, I want to get to why did the Detroit Lions struggle with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. They couldn't stop the run. And I kind of knew that coming in, that would be a problem. The Browns, I'm looking at my on-paper preview. Browns had the 10th run offense in the league at this point. They were better. Listen, the Browns were better than an 0-16 team last year. They were. They weren't good. They weren't a team that the Lions should have lost to or even struggled with, but they were better than 0-16. They were a 3-13
team. This seems to be a problem, as I've noticed going through logs of other games too. The Lions defense generally seems to have a problem with any kind of quarterback that can competently run. And DeShone Kizer put up nearly 60 yards on the ground against this Lions team. And I think ran in for a touchdown as well.
He did.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even Isaiah Crowell, 16 carries for 90 yards, 5-6 a pop, like, everyone was running on this team. And this is kind of the point where I think the narrative started about Haloti Ngata and how much this Lions defense really missed him because they couldn't stop anyone on the run. I mean, how many times did the Browns punt in this game? It couldn't have been much. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so it all kind of came at the end of the game there. But early on, like, this team field goal, touchdown. And if it weren't for a couple, like, very fortunate turnovers that went in the Lions' favor, I'm not sure they win this game.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that's where this game starts to at least get funny. But first, actually, before we do, I'm sorry, I should let Ryan in here. So I've heard a lot from Jeremy, but, like, your thoughts going through this game or why the Lions could not stop the Browns on the ground?
I actually want to talk about how the Lions' offense struggled to just, like, put together any form of, like, consistency in the beginning of the game. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was Taylor Decker's first appearance. since he played in the wild card game, you know, a little less than a year ago. And it was a hell of a tough, you know, game to come back against a guy like Myles Garrett, who by all means kind of struggled in his rookie season too. But he, nonetheless, I mean, he dealt with injuries, but Decker really struggled with Garrett and even like the rest of the like really athletic players that the Browns had on their offensive line. So like it was this really weird rotation that like the Lions decided that Decker was going to play for a series and then Mahalik was going to come in and then Decker was going to come in and then Mahalik and it just didn't seem like the right move to me. Like I understand like wanting to like kind of like put, you know, Decker's feet in water instead of trying to throwing him in the deep end of the pool. But at this point, like either the guy's ready to play or the guy's not ready to play. And for an offensive line that was struggling with, you know, consistency and trying to get the same offensive line and the same set of guys out there play in and play out so that they can develop some some familiarity with one another, be comfortable with one another. It just seemed like a very disjointed and a very odd move to decide to do that. Stafford threw an interception to a linebacker. That doesn't happen all that often. Jamie Collins at that. The first half was just so weird. Like the Lions offense was just like, blech.
Well, yeah. Let's read the first three plays of the entire game. Matthew Stafford sacked for -4 yards. Amir Abdullah up the middle for -6 yards. Yep. Matthew Stafford passes to Theo Riddick for -3 yards.
Dude, it's a -13 drive to start 3 and out, start the game. Like, holy shit.
If they were playing golf, they'd be killing it.
See, we can have fun with this now because now we know the Lions won and this was just utterly meaningless in the grand scheme of things. The Lions were going to a middling record anyway. And on that note, I do want to start talking about where it starts to get fun. So the Lions did eventually pull this out, Jeremy.
They did.
But it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't easy. And it came mostly at the Browns' incompetence.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What was it? The QB sneak that
yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no. Well, this is really, I think the game was almost won here, even though the Browns came back in the second half. First, the Browns have that odd play where Nevin Lawson strips it after getting burnt, then picks up the ball, runs it in for a touchdown. That sort of thing never really happens. You never, especially after he gets burned like that. It was just an odd looking play.
Just the epitome of Nevin Lawson's entire career with the Detroit Lions right there. Absolutely. In that play. Getting burned and yet coming up with 6 points.
Yep. And then the very next possession, Browns down 7 at the end of the half. They're driving like they did a lot of this game, driving from their own 25. They get down first and goal to the Lions 2, incomplete pass. Then with, 15 seconds on the clock or something, with no timeouts left, they try a QB sneak from the 2-yard line. And if you've ever watched a quarterback sneak, it is not easy to get out of that and lined up afterwards. And DeShone Kizer came nowhere close to the goal line. And they almost got another playoff. But if you've ever, ran a quarterback sneak, you know how much of just clusterfuck it is down there. And to pull everyone. And sure, the Lions were probably being a little sneaky and staying on top of guys, but horrible play call by Hugh Jackson ends up running out the clock. The Browns get 0 points out of it when they should have had an easy 3. And also, I mean, who calls a quarterback sneak from the 2-yard line?
Well, so the interesting thing about that play though, too, I'm taking a look at the recap that I wrote, but it looks like one of the Browns receivers, I think it's DeValve. He like runs a route. Like he runs a route. So it's almost as if like Kizer was like, nah, man, I got this. Like I'm calling audible. This is about to be a QB sneak. It's like, why? What are you doing? And then I remember the out, like there were so many people on Twitter. There's Brown's Twitter was like ablaze. They're like, oh, the Lions were sitting on Kizer. They wouldn't let him get up and they're sitting on other players. And that should have been delay a game. No, you know what? You deserve that for trying to run a QB sneak with, less than 20 seconds on the play clock, less than 20 seconds left on the game clock.
So was that the moment that DeShone Kizer was traded, essentially?
But you know what? The thing about Kizer in that game is, like, he was making, like, legit NFL throws.
That's
like,
true.
I was pretty impressed.
He was looking good. He was very – look, and again, I have to say this again, 57 yards on the ground, too. Like, he was successful as a rushing threat as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was having a nice little game. Like, for a guy who basically had everything stacked against him, he was throwing, like, 10-yard out routes, like, outside of the hash. Like, outside of the numbers even, like, he was really slinging the ball. He made some, like, NFL throws where I was like, you know what? You know, DeShone Kizer might amount to something, and now he doesn't play for the Browns anymore. So,
and he plays for the Packers, which is probably a massive upgrade, to be honest.
over Brett Hundley? Yeah, we'll talk about that in a couple weeks again.
I'm trying to find the silver lining for my beautiful Toledo boy from Central Catholic. Okay, so what does this game mean, though, in the long term? This is now, once again, the Lions lost three in a row. Now they've won three in a row. Now they're sitting at, I believe, 6-4.
Five and four? I think they're only 5-4 at this point.
No. You're right. You're right. The third, I was looking ahead. Chicago, next week we're talking about, is going to be their third win in a row. So they've won two in a row. They're sitting at 5-4. As we've talked about last week, Ryan, Minnesota was on their skid. So suddenly it starts to look like maybe this, you know, might be a little closer than we think. But what did this game mean overall?
I mean, it was one of those games where you're like, we escaped. Like, it's hard to win in the NFL. You pull out that cliche line, you know, any given Sunday, the Lions escaped. Let's put this one behind us. Put a winning streak ahead of us. See what happens.
Okay, but that's what we were saying in the meantime. But what, now that we have an entire season in our mind, what does it mean?
It meant nothing. It was an extra bye week, essentially, and delaying the inevitable, because I don't know how you could watch this game and come out thinking that the Lions were a good enough team to contend in the NFC playoffs.
And my bad, I said Vikings were on a skid. They hadn't lost since, actually, they beat the Lions, but still, like, this is what you needed to stay in lockstep with them, at least,
right,
to try.
It's funny that Jeremy, I was going to say real quick, Jeremy, you can get to your point, but it was funny that you mentioned that, like, it felt like the Lions escaped with a win. The headline for the game recap I wrote was Lions escape from Detroit, edge out winless Browns 38-24. But it really was, like,
yeah.
And I mean, let me ask you this question. You can get to your point too. But Quandre Diggs knocks DeShone Kizer out of this game.
That's,
I mean, he comes back later in the game when the Browns are down by 14, but he knocked him out with a shot to the ribs. Like, if Kizer would have played this whole game, I think it would have been a little bit closer, and maybe the Browns may have even been able to pull this one out.
Absolutely, because Cody Kessler was a disaster.
He was awful. Oh, he was awful.
Goodness gracious, he was terrible.
Catch. Like, I mean, he made one pass that actually worked. Like, just, my God.
Yeah, I mean, you remember when I was counting the punts earlier in the segment? Three of those came after Cody Kessler had not converted the third down. They went three and out,
They wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him pass at all because they knew just how bad he was going to be.
Yeah.
Cornelius Washington finally got his first sack of the season against Cody Kessler. Tough game.
Cornwash.
Yeah, that's right. Kessler got, like, what, sacked three times in that little tiny time when he was in the game.
You get the feeling that he was just, like, he was hiding in a corner during this game. And then when they, like, they're like, hey, dude, they're poking him with a stick, like, you got to play now. And they're like, what?
It's like that time in the cartoon where it's like, you know, you're like, put me in, coach. And there's these monsters looming over the field ready to eat your liver. That was Cody Kessler staring up at, like, 12-foot tall monster that the Detroit Lions, who hadn't been that at all this game, suddenly turned into.
Right. Cody Kessler had a QBR of 0.2 in this game.
My God.
Attaboy.
All right. I think that's enough. Let's put this game, unless, Ryan, did you have any thoughts as far as what this game meant at the end, or are you with Jeremy that this was ultimately meaningless?
I mean, this was just the game, another sports cliche. We love to talk about it, but it was a game you had to win. Like, you couldn't lose this game and expect to, you know, like you mentioned, keep lockstep with Minnesota and hope that they falter eventually or even have a shot at the NFC wild card.
So same as Green Bay last week, then.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, like, this was the stretch. I think you even talked about it last week, Chris, where you said, like, you had some games coming up where it was, like, very winnable. Like, you had to win a few of these games, and then it was like, well, let's see what's let's see what happens on Thanksgiving against Minnesota, and that'll kind of determine, like, whether or not you have a shot at the NFC North title, or you're, you know, going to be playing from behind and have to, quote-unquote, run the table the rest of the season just to make the playoffs.
All right, well, we're way over. Jeremy chided me on time last time, so we're going to step out of the way back. Ooh, that's nice. Nice new fresh in 2018. Let's move on to the mailbag.
Hey, sports fans. Football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag ask POD. As always, get your questions in. We will answer them. And excuse me. Ooh, that's not working out. That stays in. Jeremy, reviews.
We got three new reviews. I'm going to read two of them today. They must have really not liked me not being in last week's episode. That's the only reason I can imagine why we got a one-star and a two-star review. But you know what? We committed to this bit. We're going to read them out loud.
Absolutely.
We're going to take... this first one's going to... Ooh. One star from C Styles 76. Just terrible.
More like no styles.
Ooh. Worst podcast out there. Unprofessional and irresponsible children masquerading as some sort of cross between wannabe serious journalists and bad take artists. Given the choice between listening to this podcast and having a kitchen knife inserted anally, I would take the podcast, but just barely.
Hey, man, I can do the knife bit whenever you want.
Yeah, you know what? Give us your address.
About like, what, like, hold up. What kind of like bad take artist? Like, what kind of field do you think we're working in here? Like, come on, man.
You know exactly what he's referring to when he's talking about bad take artists.
He's getting pissed off at us because once again, none of y'all have gotten over the Patricia thing, and it's like someone else was jumping in Jeremy's mention and in my mentions last week.
Let's not even mention that dude. He is an idiot.
2 months now, you people are stupid. Come on, right, Jeremy, before I start ragging on all our fans.
Your second review comes from I Live at Disney. 2 stars. Change of title necessary. When can the host go from adequate to just bad? Calling him adequate is an insult to the actual mediocre things. This is like saying the movies Geely, Catwoman, and The Last Airbender, and all the toilet movies are adequate. Just because you say it does not mean it's true. Bad.
I'm adequate. Guess what? I'm adequate.
Yep, he's adequate. Sorry.
I'm adequate, and you're throwing up on the teacup ride.
If you don't think he's adequate, then you're going to have to change your definition of adequate, because he's adequate.
I've been told the third review is a lot better, but you know what? We are committed to this bit. It will have to wait until next week.
We love you, Johnny, but we'll get to you next week.
All right. Where do we want to lead off on this podcast mailbag? Let's start with our old friend over in the UK, James at Cookie991. Taco Bell has just opened in my city. What should I try first?
Pepto-Bismol. Oh, come on! No way!
That's closer than we've ever gotten in doing this, the Fortnite dance.
That's magical right there.
Oh, the fact that we both picked Pepto-Bismol too. What does that say about us?
Yeah, I don't know, because one of us could have said Tums. We could have went any number of directions. Wow.
Any kind of antacid.
But no, a Crunchwrap Supreme is my go-to item. It's legit. If you can get it with spicy chicken, which I don't know any place that doesn't anymore.
You can't, but I wish you could.
Spicy chicken Crunchwrap.
Let's see here.
You.
So I've got a mini list cast here. I would say top three. I mean, I don't know. I actually, you know what? I can't even list them. So like if the nacho fries are there, absolutely get some nacho fries. Other than that, like I'm usually 50-50 between a quesarito and the Cantina grande burrito thing that you can get with like steak and all that stuff.
You want to do a three mini list cast real quick?
No, because we've got some other people who are demanding. We've got a lot of people demanding off the wall list casts here. I think we opened the floodgates. So, Ryan, what do you like besides antacid from Taco Bell?
The last time I had Taco Bell, like, it's really true about like when you hit a certain age that like it just doesn't agree with your stomach.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't eaten it in years, but I mean that's besides the point.
Dude, yeah, I don't know, like. Like Jeremy, I missed the spicy chicken Crunchwrap Supreme, but if I'm going to have to get something, I'm going to get a Gordita Crunch.
Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Cheesy, I was going to make sure that someone mentioned that. Yeah.
So we got Crunchwrap Supreme, Gordita Crunch, and Quesarito. I think that's a pretty good combination right there. Next question here is from Bud Dog, and it's a Lions related question. How long would it take the 2008 Lions to complete the Shrine of the Silver Monkey?
It's three freaking pieces.
Never. They would never be able to do it. No chance. Dan Orlovsky would run out of the studio
with the head. Oh my god. I can just imagine. Just, oh my. Ryan Collins, Shafty Von Hack, what will be the best-selling video game in 5 years? In five years?
Fortnite 2. I don't know.
I don't think they'll ever make it to. We're in the age of games where they just keep updating the old games.
Yeah, that's totally facetious. I see Fortnite. There's going to be something on the horizon that kind of just topples it. In terms of popularity, but I don't know.
NHL 23 Battle Royale.
A Battle Royale NHL game. I love that.
Imagine Rod Marinelli trying to order the construction of the Silver Monkey.
My shovel is sharp, my axe is sharp, and my will is outstanding. Omek.
What about a Madden Battle Royale game? Do you think Marvin Harrison would just win?
You said it. Okay, next question. Not standing here for this. Blake Berry, is this the worst week for a sports fan?
I mean, I know you're going to have a take on this, Chris, because you're watching the Home Run Derby tonight, right?
I am. I think it's already. Has it started already?
I think no it started idea. At 8.
Yeah. So we're recording right now. It's 8:15. So I'm gonna go watch a little bit of it after this. I mean, it's the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. What else do you want, man? I mean, I guess because the World Cup final was Sunday and that counts as part of this week, it's kind of held it off. But that's every 4 years. So yeah, this is the worst time of year because I'm not getting down with Summer League. I don't care that there are like wild speculations that LeBron James is going to be in Vegas to watch the Lakers at Summer League. You can't get me to watch that. Ryan, did we ever talk about LeBron going to the Lakers? I don't think we ever did.
Maybe briefly. I don't know. I don't think we talked about it a whole lot. Yeah, that was Monday news, right? No, that was Sunday news. And I feel like we recorded the podcast earlier that day.
We might have, yeah. We never talked about it.
My memory fails me.
Maybe at another point I'll ask you what you think about it. Beer worship beer worshiping cult at Sarah VC. Why does Jeff Risden hate the Steve Miller Band so much?
I guess I'm not aware of this. But what is, Steve Miller Band, they do the Joker song, right? I'm a Joker. I'm a Joker. I'm a Midnight Joker.
Yes, exactly how, you sung it.
My uncle has a really great story about how when Pine Knob was still Pine Knob, he was in middle school, and the middle school had raffled off, like, I think you had to like read like a certain amount of books, and if you read a certain amount of books during the school year, there was a school bus that took you to Pine Knob for the Steve Miller Band concert. and these kids are in middle school.
Why did I move back to Michigan?
Nobody thought that one through. It was the 70s, though, man.
A lot of questionable things happened in the 70s. Next question here from Punks. What is the best tailgate bar for food and, of course, beer before a Lions game? And in parentheses, he asks for a list cast. We're not going to have a list cast for you, unfortunately, but I think that would... We need to just... You know how we were making fun of for the longest time that book of top 10s in Detroit, Ryan? Including one of our favorite writers who... We need to write our own like big book of list cast.
That's what we'll do
when we get big. That's what we'll do when this podcast starts to get big, in spite of all these 1-star reviews.
I don't have an answer to this question because I'm not familiar with. I'm assuming he means like outside of Ford Field, right?
Yeah. Something in the downtown Detroit area.
Oh, Chili's Chili still legit.
Yeah. I feel like that's a place where a lot of people flock. I don't know. Are you always trying to, I think you're always trying to strike that balance between populated, but not like overly populated. And I think that's one of those spots that's just like full of people, like the Elwood Grill. Like that's,
yeah,
like
I was going to say Elwood is just, it's too close to ground zero. Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, I'm not trying to just plug my own thing, but like Sweetwater is like,
do they have
the right amount of people?
Sweetwater's close enough you can just walk over.
I know they used to have a shuttle
like
to
6 or 7 blocks. Yeah. They might.
They used to have a shuttle to Joe Louis. I don't know if they ever did one to Ford Field, but yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But I mean, hold up. Like, remind me, by the way, another great answer is probably have to walk quite a bit or come over there from it, but Harry's? No?
I don't know what that is.
The bar.
Never been to Harry's.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I haven't experienced it. I was gonna say I haven't experienced it yet, but now Ford Field is doing that thing where like they open the gates early and you can have discounted drinks, like alcoholic drinks, in the first 30, 45 minutes that they're open. If you want to just like hustle and get in your Honolulu Blue drinks right away, you could do that. I don't know.
Real quick before we move on, what was the restaurant that was getting just slagged off by the free press this week?
Oh God.
Was that Empire or something like that? I don't have it up in front of me, but we were all having a laugh at that. You remember, Ryan, that the one restaurant review that was just like, just God damn.
It was one of the most savage things I've ever read.
I can't remember.
It was, I don't know if it was, I know it wasn't this, but let's just pretend it's Kid Rock's restaurant.
I don't think it is. Does Kid Rock have a restaurant?
He has a restaurant outside of Little Caesars Arena now.
God.
Wahlburgers is the answer to that question.
I actually had that place for the first time the other week. We have one here near USC at the Village.
Is that okay?
I got sick off of it. So
no,
that a decent. It was a decent burger. Melt.
Sounds like you didn't feel it.
I would say the weirdest thing about sitting in that Wahlburger, though, like again, I went in June. I was there in June, and they're playing like Patriots Steelers on the TV.
Of course they are.
And then I realized that Mark Wahlberg. It's like it's not even. It's like his cousin or his brother or something that runs this restaurant, and he's riding on the coattails of Marky Mark.
You ever do Greek Town before a game, Ryan?
I mean, that's what we used to always do.
I haven't done Greek Town before a game. But as long as I'm not at Pegasus,
it's middling. It's nothing special. I think you can go to a lot better places. All right. Live for my boys. Will Kerryon Johnson start the season as the RB1, and which our running back will finish the season with the most touches? Well, I mean, as we've seen with the Lions, we don't really have a running back. There is no such thing as a running back one, except for like depth chart things, right?
Yeah. It's probably not best to think of it that simplistically, but I think he's essentially the guy that's going to be getting the most carries from the get-go.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to get the most touches, absolutely. Like, the second part of that question, absolutely, Kerryon Johnson.
I would tend to agree with you guys. I think that he probably will get the most carries, and I think the best way to look at this running back situation is that it's going to be handled, no pun intended, but, like, situationally.
So, I was going to say very carefully.
Fuck. Man. See? You stumbled in the list cast segment, but then you come back and totally redeem yourself.
Go on.
This is your element. This is your element. And I just don't think people listen all the way to the end of the podcast where you really come through and shine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because this is the ad lib part. Chris is at his best thinking on his feet. The whole preparation part, nah. He doesn't need that.
I think we need to get someone. I do need that, but I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to pull host duties at the same time, and I think that's what's getting people pissed off. Next question here from MSU Lions fan. Why does everyone think Ebron is a better athlete than Luke Wilson when he had better measurables at the combine in literally every measurable area? Is this true? Do we have stats for this? I don't.
Yeah, if you're going by Kent's RAS thing, Luke Wilson is like a 9.5 or something crazy high like that. Well, Ebron's like an 8.8 or something like that.
I'll just say to this then that combine scores aren't the only thing these guys have going into the draft. And Eric Ebron's career at North Carolina was very good.
Right. And I think that's probably, I don't know the stats comparison between the two college careers, but I can almost guarantee that Eric Ebron's had a more prolific career at North Carolina.
Can you restate the question though real quick? Is it just basically boiling down to like why are we not more excited about Luke Wilson because athletically he's more gifted than Eric Ebron?
I think that's what he's trying to get at. Like, I don't know. That's a weasel word there when he says everyone thinks Ebron is better. There's a lot of people who will gladly write off Ebron. I would think among us though, I think there's no denying that we've all believed this tight end unit is probably not going to improve with the removal of Eric Ebron, but replacing him with Luke Wilson. And I don't think in my book, Ebron's the better athlete.
The tight end position is 100% worse this season than it was last season. And I don't think that there's anything that anybody can do to try to convince me otherwise. Like losing Ebron and losing Fells, like that, those two guys are better than any of the guys that are currently on roster right now. So,
and I think what's being conflated here is just people ranted about Eric Ebron's athleticism because when you mix that with his production, and by the way, Eric Ebron had 973 yards his senior year. In 4 years at Rice, Luke Wilson had a total of 986 yards. So yeah, Eric Ebron
was productive.
He's productive. He fits the tight end mold, plus he has the athleticism. Whereas Luke Wilson has the athleticism, did not quite have the skills, the route. I mean, there's so many things that go into a tight end besides athleticism, route running and blocking and all that sort of stuff. And while Luke Wilson might be a tad better of a blocker than Eric Ebron, and it's not as much as you probably think it is, he's nowhere near as the talented route runner and receiver that Eric Ebron is, despite, you know, the whole drop things with Ebron.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those things we're just going to keep talking about until people get tired of talking about Eric Ebron. But hey,
he got married though. Congratulations to him.
Congratulations, yeah.
So did Decker over the weekend. Wedding season.
Shamu S2D2. Camp battles. Which upcoming positional battles are you most looking forward to? Next week is going to be our big camp preview bonanza. I'll say that right now.
You're going to start preparing right now, right?
Right. No, because we're going to have a special guest in. He's one of our repeat guys, but you know, I'm trying to get some new blood in here because apparently the people have spoken. But no, which you know, just as a preview to that, what's the position you're curious about? Because I don't care about who's battling who. I care about the final 53 man roster. I really don't care about the drama that we have engineered for ourselves in between. That's me speaking as a fan, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm in the minority, but you can't get me as a fan to care about training camp. I will care about it in the sense that I have to cover it, but there's nothing exciting for me as a fan about training camp.
Well, to me, training camp has two draws. One is who breaks the starting roster. And sometimes, you know, if you're rotating guys so much, it might not even matter. And two is who kind of makes that 53 man roster. And so for me, the most interesting matchup is the number two corner matchup, because I don't know, they paid Nevin Lawson a lot of money. T's Tabor kind of stood out during OTAs and minicamp. I'm curious as to who's going to win out that job.
You took my answer.
Yeah.
It's because it's the right answer.
So now I have to think on my feet, and I'm not as good as Chris when it comes to thinking on my feet. But well, if there's another position,
I don't have to think about this at all because I'm not interested. How you doing?
Maybe my answer is you'll find out next week.
Oh, nice. All right, last question.
That's how you get people coming back, baby.
Yeah, I like that. Give them the tease. All right, last question we have from David A. Mara. When will you do another episode where Ryan is on location pounding El Presidente?
Hey, David, whenever you want to foot the bill on a plane ticket and a stay at the Hard Rock Cafe. You know what? If the people can get a GoFundMe started for Kylie Jenner to become a billionaire, why can't we get a GoFundMe started to send Ryan back to Punta Cana?
We just take more than just you. I haven't had a vacation in like years.
You guys can come too, but I'm just saying that David wants, you know, he wants something. He wants one person, but I mean, I'm glad to take more people with me.
I'll throw it out $20 right now.
Keep this in mind too, for the GoFundMe page. It's not only just, we have to replicate all the conditions. So not only is it plane ticket and stay, I also have to have the same amount of money that I bet on the 16 NBA parlay that I did that night too. So
we also have to roll that in. We also have to get you back with your ex.
Oh, that was. Yeah.
Why?
That's a swift kick to the nether region.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Star Side.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.